Welcome to the Redneck Dentist Podcast. I am Doc Mike, host of the podcast. A series of Forrest Gump-like events have brought me to where I am, a small-town country dentist. My experiences in country living, country freedom, country dentistry, and my reaction to pertinent current events will help you live a life of more freedom and less worry. Thank you for choosing the Redneck Dentist Podcast. So let's get to today's freedom-inspiring episode. Hey, this is Doc Mike, the Redneck Dentist. Thanks for joining me live here on Real Liberty Media or downloading the podcast, wherever you guys do. I appreciate it so much. I really missed you guys on Wednesday. I went to a very interesting dental program. I'll talk about it a little bit in a minute. Let's get this stuff out of the way first. This is the fastest hour on Real Liberty Media, and I don't turn left. And could you all please post any social media sites that you do use that we are live and people can come and join us and get in the chat room? I believe that tomorrow, Hal Anthony is going to be live with Behind the Woodshed at 3 p.m. Eastern time. So tune in. That guy, I'm not kidding, it's unbelievable to listen to him. I was thinking about him and other podcasts that I listen to. Nobody packs more information in 2 hours than Hal Anthony. So give him a listen. 3 p.m. tomorrow, that's Sunday, and every Sunday at 3 p.m. So it'll be great to have him back live. We've been running his show pre-recorded, which he does awesome, but, you know, coming back live. I'm digging it. Oh, I have, this never happens, but I do have some breaking news. And this is interesting. This, I literally put this in at the very last second here. Oh, did I say something stupid? 3 p.m. Eastern. That is noon Eastern. Okay, Hal Anthony's at 3 p.m. Eastern time on Sundays. Tune in then. So anyway, this literally just came into my email. And I thought, oh, I'm going to give this a quick look and see what it's all about. And this is interesting. It says, a major scientific publisher retracting over 500 papers. So, you know, I read some scientific journals as a dentist. I mean, the JADA, the Journal of American Dental Association, it's a journal. I used to read the journal, what was it called? JAOMS, Journal of American Oral and Maxillofacial Surgeons, because I did a lot of surgery in my younger years. I still do, but not to the extent that I did. And, you know, so I understand the whole journal thing, so I thought I'd go check this article out. So it was pretty interesting, and I'm not going to get into the details because I didn't, like, make some notes, but I just want to read you, I think, the last paragraph here. So the journal, it's one of the world's largest open-access journal publishers, is retracting over 500 papers based on the discovery of unethical actions. Okay, keep that in mind. Unethical actions. And what they found was, I'm just going to kind of, this is the cream off the top right here. People were, they had formed these rings of, like, approvals, I forget what you call them, in the approval peer review process. And people were kind of, I think, padding the numbers, let's say. So let's say if I were writing an article, I would get my buddies to say, yeah, this is a good article. And then when I release the article for peer review, I already know I've got 8 or 10 buddies who are going to say, yeah, I read that and it's all good. And then what happens is, you know, a bunch of other guys who are reviewing the article looks at so-and-so and says, oh, he said it's okay, so I'll say it's okay too. Or something like that, let's say. But anyway, listen to what it says. It's Hindawi journals include advances in agriculture, the Canadian Journal of Infectious Diseases and Medical Microbiology and the Journal of Nanotechnology. I think that's pretty interesting that those journals are specifically mentioned in this article. So it's going to be interesting to see what, you know, 500 articles they've already come up with that are basically compromised articles. They're no good. They haven't been peer reviewed. They were given a check mark by whoever was doing the peer review process. So anyway, that was interesting. We got a lot of stuff to talk about today. Let me just kind of cover this program I went to on Wednesday night. The program was actually about chemically treating dental disease, which I've kind of known about this. Oh, wait a minute. I got to do something. Let's see. Yeah. I got to put my camera back on here. Yeah, there we go. All right. The program I went to was basically chemically treating dental disease. And I'd known about this for a long time. In fact, I talked about part of this presentation, for 5 years after I originally, let me step back here a minute. 20 years ago, I went to this meeting in Eugene, Oregon. And the meeting was about some kind of mouthwash that they'd come up with that, you know, kills the bacteria that causes decay. And this chemical actually works so well that if mothers rinsed their mouth with this mouth rinse, it actually reduced decay in their children, so the research said. And they actually had studied it for a long time, over a decade or something like that. And so we went to hear that person talk at that time, 20 years ago. And I got to tell you, this is the funniest thing. So, hang on one sec, though. So this is the funniest thing. So we're all there. There's like, I don't know, 60 doctors, 40 to 60 doctors there and some other office staff and maybe some office managers. And the guy gave a spiel and then we were going to have a little break and then we're going to come back and do the mouthwash ourselves. And I was like, okay, this will be interesting. They already talked about what all was in the mouthwash and, you know, you had to do it for 60 full seconds. And so we came back from our break and, you know, sat down and measured out the amount that you had to wash your mouth with. And I just remember, man, when that stuff went in my mouth, I was thinking, oh my God, this is going to be the longest 60 seconds of my life before I can get this stuff out of my mouth. And what was funny is they had really tried to doctor it up so it tasted good. It did not. So the chemical that was in this mouthwash was bleach. And it was a certain percentage bleach that was kind of buffered so it wouldn't burn your tissues and wouldn't kill you if you drank it and, you know, all that stuff, all that safety stuff so that, you know, you could get through 60 seconds of washing your mouth out with this stuff. I'm telling you, it was horrible. And they were just waiting on FDA approval to get approval to put this stuff on the market. But man, you know, I talked about that for a lot of years because I was like, this stuff is pretty dang amazing, man, that a mom, and I mean a mom even before she has children, could wash her mouth out with this stuff. And I don't know how many times, and I don't think you had to use it forever. But some period of time, you use this mouthwash, and it killed the bacteria that caused dental decay, and then your children would not have as much decay as if you didn't use this mouthwash. And I know there's this whole argument, well, you know, Schrodinger's cat in the box again. You know, you don't know if the cat's alive or dead until you open the box. And that's kind of how I feel about, you know, does COVID vaccine keep you from being hospitalized longer than normal or being sick longer than normal? you don't know in each individual. You can't tell. Yeah, you can generalize. And that's what I'm getting at with this mouthwash. I mean, you can generalize that, you know, maybe the mom who did the mouthwash was like, yeah, I'm just going to make sure my kids brush their teeth, you know, and then they have less decay. But my point is, like, it was a really good thing. So this guy who was talking on Wednesday night, September 28th, kind of the same deal. He had this formula that included calcium, phosphate, saliva, and fluoride, and then you mix that with a solution of bleach, and you mix it in this little cup, and then you use it as a mouthwash, right? And I mean, he had all kinds of products, like toothpaste, and I don't know, because at the very end of this thing, like, I'm always hoping, this will be awesome for the population that I treat, because there are a lot of state insurance patients, and, you know, they're not going to pay for stuff. They're, you know, mostly they're not, they can't afford to pay for stuff, and they don't want to pay for stuff. Help. Yeah, I better stop. I was going to say a lot of them won't even buy a toothbrush, but I don't know if that's true or not. If they come in and get a cleaning, they get a free toothbrush. So if every 6 months they came in, they'd get a new toothbrush, and 6 months is good, you know. But, yeah, at the very end of the whole presentation, yeah, this stuff isn't going to be on the formulary that we use to order stuff. And, you know, a lot of offices will buy the stuff and then, you know, sell it, you know, at a little bit of a profit or not. But I just could see, yeah, you know, another fantastic possibly cure for a lot of dental disease, but it's not going to fly in this population. And so this guy works at a university, of course, and he's developed this, and they've studied it for years, and they have all these results. And people fly from all over the country and other countries to, you know, come and see him, hoping that, you know, they're going to have less dental disease. Well, I mean, if you fly across the country and you go to see one specific doctor, I think you're going to be pretty motivated to do whatever he says to do to be successful. But like most local clinics are dealing with local population, and there's very few of those people that are actually going to, you know, like fork out my, although now if you think about this, I mean, this is one good thing. If you paid money for this stuff, and it's not stupid expensive, it's really not, it's like $15, I don't know, something like that, but by paying for that stuff, you actually would save so much money in the long run, you know, avoiding dental problems. So I don't know if that's a good selling point or not. I don't know how many people would buy that whole argument, especially from dentists who, you know, tend to oversell dentistry, I think. And that's a generality, but that's been my observation in my 40 years of practice. Yeah, that's way too long. All right, let's get on to the other stuff. So that was the meeting on Wednesday night. I thought it was pretty cool, but a little bit of a letdown in the end. All right. Again, this story just came in like an hour or so before I had all my notes done, and I was like, okay, I'm going to look at a couple more things that came through my email, and this one caught my attention because, you know, it's mysterious. It says Seattle Children's Emergency Room sees unprecedented demand. And I'm like, okay, why? Like, why, you know, just up north of us here in Seattle, it's like 5 hours, actually. Why are they having, you know, why are children suddenly showing up in the emergency room? And of course, I was thinking it would have something to do with the vaccine that they're pushing so hard every single day to get you to take your kids in and get them the jab. And guess what? It's not. But guess what it is? Seattle Children's Hospital has found a startling number of people flooding its emergency room as the normal fall flu season begins to kick in, according to Seattle's whatever. So I thought that was kind of interesting. So this is what happened. They, you know, people masked up their kids, kept them away from other kids. You know, during these years when you're really trying to form an immune system, when you really want your kids' immune system to be challenged with stuff that doesn't kill them, we have protected them for 2 years by, protected, in air quotes, them from the boogeyman for 2 years. Because the possibility of them getting COVID and dying was so high, like minuscule, but what we really had to do was make sure that we had children that knew how to comply. We had to make sure we had children that understood their parents were going to be forced into complying. It had nothing to do with protecting them from disease. It had everything to do with complying with authority. Because as we all know, there hasn't been, young kids with healthy immune systems, don't end up dying in the hospital. It's a very small, tiny little, not even a percentage, just a minuscule amount of children who, and pretty much they have to have, other factors that compromise them. But anyway, so here's kind of like, this is the canary in the coal mine. You know, one hospital is spitting it out already. It's only October 1st. You know, we're just kind of getting into flu season. And boom, the ERs are overwhelmed with kids who are more sick than they would have been, which isn't that interesting now. So you protected these young people from challenging their immune system, which would make them healthier. And now they have a compromised immune system. So now are they more susceptible to whatever, bioweapon Fauci has, ready to go for us later? I mean, it kind of makes sense. It's like, hey, these young kids, their immune system's too healthy. We need to compromise it a bit. So that they're more susceptible to whatever it is we're bringing out next. And I'm telling you, man, I have some stuff today. This week, I don't know, like so many weeks in the last year, 2 years, it's like every day I'm shaking my head, man. Like, what in the hell is going on? Stuff doesn't make sense. I mean, it does make sense if you look at it from a certain perspective. But like, just like, I want to give you a little bit of an example of somebody who, okay, there's, and I'm not going to mention her name because I'm not giving her any press. So this year in Oregon, we have three women running for the office of governor of the state of Oregon. You have a Democrat, you have a lost individual, and you have a Republican. Okay, they're all three kind of lost. But the Democrat literally put out a commercial that starts with, I am going to be tough on gun crime. We are going to, lock down weapons and make sure people can't get a hold of guns so they can't kill people. And she ends the commercial by saying, and we're going to make sure we have the strongest abortion rights protections in the United States or in the world so that, you ask for an abortion, you get an abortion. We're going to make sure it happens here in Oregon. And I'm just thinking to myself, Like, does that make sense to anybody? So it's okay to, it's okay, it's not good to kill adults with guns, but you can kill babies and infants at any time, you know, because they're just babies and infants. But God forbid you get a gun and try and protect yourself. I just thought it was wild that, you know, the dichotomy in that commercial just blew me away. I guess because the way I see those two things, you know, like I'm sure her followers are all about like, yeah, take away the guns and kill babies. That's what we want. And it really kind of, it does sometimes kind of scare me when I start thinking about how vehement women in that camp are about killing babies. You know, it's just like absolutely no emotion to them whatsoever, except hate that you would want to, you, the other side, would want to, you know, prevent the killing of babies. Oh my goodness. So let's see, what else do I want to go on? That wasn't even on my list of things to talk about today. Oh yeah, we got this. Hey, the loan forgiveness for students, I'm excited to be able to pass on to you today that you are not going to be getting that money. The Biden administration either found a loophole or just decided to let everybody know, yeah, you're not getting the money. And they didn't actually say it. Like, they didn't say these two things in the exact same press conference, but the Nazi army regiment in Ukraine needs an extra $12 billion, and the government can only forgive student loans that are still held by the government. Like, if you've refinanced with a third party, yeah, you don't really fit the category of people that we're trying to, you know, forgive their student loans for. But yeah, we had to pass an emergency budget to keep us running through the end of the year, and in that budget we had to include $12 billion more dollars for the Ukrainian Nazi Army Regiment. Okay, I just put the Ukrainian Nazi Army Regiment in there because they're just a small faction of the people who are going to get the money, but it is all going to Ukraine, and it'll be distributed amongst, well, everybody, including the Nazi Army Regiment. So, students, I'm sorry, but the Democrats have to stick to their history here, and they have to continue to support the Nazi Army Regiment in Ukraine and not you. Oh, what else did I hear about them today that it was just like, oh, that's so genius? It had something to do with women. Oh, yeah. Why aren't they standing up for these women in Iran, for crying out loud? Why do you, did I, it's not like I watch mainstream media, but I'm thinking I would have seen somebody like talking about Biden, who would be talking about how the women in Iran, you know, should be respected. And, you know, wow, my notes just moved all on their own. Kind of like it was telling me it's time to move on. Maybe it is, because I got a lot of stuff to cover. That's okay. I'm going to do shows this week. If I don't get everything in today, I'll have, you know, I'll have stuff for every day this week, I'm 100% sure. Anyway, so if you don't know what happened on Iran, a woman was wearing her head thing, hijab, I think it's called. She wasn't wearing it properly, and the morality police picked her up and basically, I don't know, beat her to death, you know, tortured her until she was dead. And then, you know, other people in Iran were like, hey, you can't do that. You know, you have to treat women with respect, and we need to be able to have the freedom to wear our hijab however we want to wear it. you know, we weren't being, or she wasn't being disrespectful, whatever. But you don't hear anything from this administration. Not a word. Not a word about human rights, but you don't hear it about human rights, you know, in China, you know, anywhere. So I don't expect to hear anything, honestly. But it's kind of sad. It is kind of sad. It's kind of sad. The number one, there's no, like, information or support or, you know, nobody in the United States in this administration saying, hey, that's BS. You shouldn't be treating other human beings like that. There's nobody. You know, it's crickets. I wish I had Hal Anthony's crickets right now. I'd prod them a little bit, get them to make some noise. Yeah, okay. Now I want to get in. I got to tell you, I watched the Hurricane Ian, slam in to the western coast of Florida this week. And I did that by watching the Weather Channel, which it's gotten to the point where I just have to get this off of my chest because it's just too ridiculous, okay? And I don't know how many of you have ever watched the Weather Channel or if you watch the Weather Channel. It's just another mainstream media outlet, and truly it is. And I'm going to define why basically as I go through this. But it's crazy that, okay, the Weather Channel, I think, does this really well. This is the one thing I think they do really well, is they tell you and show you what the weather is doing at this moment. And they have people that they dispatch to the field of wherever weather's going to happen. And they have live reporting, kind of like storm chasers, really. And, you know, watching them this week, I knew what was coming. I wanted to see, really, because I really had a feeling this was going to be a record-setting hurricane. Not because of, you know, the barometric pressure or the wind velocity. I just kind of felt and looked like this thing was going to pack a ton of water and create that storm surge that they talk about every single time they talk about a hurricane. They talk about the storm surge, right? But this time was different. I don't know. The path that this hurricane was taking, the shape of the shoreline where it could possibly hit, really kind of included some areas that look like, you know, they're going to be in bad shape. And I noticed today, like, I've been watching the numbers of deaths rise. It's up to 50-something. The last I checked was 54. And that was about double what it was this morning or late last night. No, not late. I don't stay up late anymore. But, okay. So you got guys out in the field. And they literally go out and stand in the strongest winds where they tell you, don't go out in this weather. It's very dangerous. And I literally heard two of their anchors today on this morning as I'm checking in to what's going on. I literally heard one of two anchors who were on the set this morning say, now listen, don't do this. We are the experts and we know what we're doing. And I'm just thinking, no, you're not. You're a bunch of freaking clowns that go out in the worst weather, and you just basically hope to God you don't get hit by something. And there were a couple times where one of their field reporters almost got whacked by a branch. A mirror came off a parking structure that they were kind of hiding in, but he would go outside of the parking structure to get their footage because it looked better, okay? And I'm thinking to myself, oh, something else that the Weather Channel does that really, really irritates the hell out of me, and that is this. Like, every thing. I think they even, I was going to say every single story is, you know, goes back to man-made global warming, to man-made climate change, you know, how bad humans are. And it's just tons of fear-mongering about climate change, right? Well, kind of lost my train of thought. Oh, climate change. Oh, yeah. So I'm thinking to myself, why, you know, they always say they're the most trusted name in news, which I find that hard to believe, but I think you can say anything about yourself these days. Got to get a drink. Because, I mean, if you tried to sue them because that was a lie, you'd have to prove that they weren't the most trusted name in news, right? Like, it's kind of, that's subjective at best. But anyway, so, oh, thank you in the chat room. I appreciate that. So anyway, yeah, they're always pushing this man-made global warming, man-made climate change, you know, and this is other thing for years. And I'm not kidding. Every single year I watch this, listen to this prediction. And then I tell anybody around, hey, it's not that you can, I can guarantee you it is not going to be like if they say we're predicting 17 named storms and five, serious hurricanes. I just go to my whoever friends and say, hey, I can guarantee you there's not going to be five named hurricanes this year in Florida or the Gulf Coast anywhere. It's not going to happen because every single year they're wrong. Every single year they are wrong, but they hype it up all year long, especially the closer they get to hurricane season. Okay, we're expecting this many tropical storms and this many named storms and this many tropical cyclones and this many hurricanes, and we're going to have, you know, the hurricanes are getting more intense every year and worse every year. And I was thinking to myself, okay, I got to go check this out for myself. Like, I got to see, like, I'm a math guy. Like, one thing I was really strong at my entire life was math, algebra, calculus, you know, that whole thing. So I'm like, I'm going to go see the stats on this. Do my own research. So I did, you know, using our very reliable government statistics on the subject. Let's see where I got. It says intensity of storms. Like, is the intensity of storms going to increase? And they say the answer is yes. And the reason is connected to rising sea surface temperature. Remember, warm water feeds storms. NOAA has suggested that an increase in Category 4 and 5 hurricanes is likely, with hurricane wind speeds increasing by up to 10%. And it's a global trend also, not just here in, you know, the good old U.S. of A. It's a global trend. So I was like, okay, let's go look at the history of hurricanes. And I did come up with one chart, but let me see here. I think that's the wrong chart. 1935 to, oh, here, say at the top. Yeah, only to 2004. So that chart was kind of let down, but the number one most powerful hurricane on record was in 1935. Now, we're almost 100 years past that, right? We're like 85 years past that, 80-something years past that. And guess what? We're not, like, there's only been, let's see, so the highest or most intense storm on the list in this century was Charley, ranked 17th. Yes, 17th, and it occurred in 2004. So if storms are becoming more intense, where are they? Like, where are they? Like, you can't say, You can't constantly say man-made global warming is causing hurricanes to become more intense and keep preaching that year after year, fear-mongering, and then you come up with, you know, nothing. You have nothing to show for it in this century. The closest, most powerful hurricane in this century is number 17 on the list. Now, Ian may change things a bit. I don't know exactly, you know, all the lists they come up with, how they determine which is the most intense. Like the one list just used barometric pressure. Like the lowest barometric pressure created the most intense storm, okay? Now, if you look back at Hurricane Andrew and some of the other hurricanes we've had, you know, in the past 20 years, 20 years, there's been more damage done because there's more people and there's more buildings and there's more property that have been damaged. And if you went by, you know, the cost or the expense of recovering from a hurricane, yeah, you're going to get a different list. But as far as the actual physical element, yeah, they're not becoming more intense. Like, more intense would mean, well, every year or two we get one that's more intense, right? That's not what we're seeing. We're nowhere near it. And it irritates the hell out of me, but then I think back, okay, what did I see when I was watching the Weather Channel? You know what I saw? I saw a ton of pharmaceutical commercials, a ton of pharmaceutical commercials. And of course, the people who finance the Weather Channel and finance their little jaunts off to, you know, thunder snow in the middle of winter or hurricanes, you know, at this time of year, or tornadoes that cross through, you know, Tornado Alley every single year. Yeah, the companies that finance them are the same companies who are forcing them to follow these ESG guidelines because if they don't, so could you imagine, like, who's going to sit around? Oh no, I was going to say, who's going to sit around and watch the Weather Channel all day long? But literally, I shouldn't say this, but my wife actually does at times constantly watch the Weather Channel. And that's awesome. It's entertaining. I get it. It's great. But the money is coming from the companies who will turn that faucet off if those clowns don't step right in line and say what they're supposed to say and constantly fear-monger about the environment. And that's what they do. And you know, it really is things like that are really getting to me, where I see these people that claim to be scientists. I mean, hell, these meteorologists, they're meteorologists, all of them. They all have degrees in meteorology, right? Even though they should have gone into, what is it, theater or something. Oh no, then they would have had to use stunt doubles or something. But they actually even get, some of them even have doctorates in meteorology, so they can tell you everything they know about, you know, hurricanes and tropical cyclones and how, you know, thunderstorms are built and, you know, why is hail, you know, get to be golf ball sized. Yeah. So these are educated scientists. You can't become a meteorologist and be, you know, like, not understand science and physics and biology and ecology and all this other stuff. But then it's like, you know, you take one of these positions, and I mean, like, not only on the Weather Channel, but even in these universities, and yeah, you better toe the line and you better say the right thing or the funding's getting pulled, man. And let me tell you how bad it's gotten. So, a little side note, a little personal thing. How much time we got? Oh, we got plenty of time. So in this meeting Wednesday, most of us, okay, there's doctors, hygienists, and some office managers there. So a lot of people with backgrounds in science, right? And our fearless leader gets up there before the meeting and, talks about how, we are a company that believes in outcome-based procedures based in science and statistics. And I just wanted to say at that moment, oh, you mean like how we followed the science when we went into lockdown for 2 months, and how we followed the science to force everybody to wear masks when they come into, healthcare facilities, even though we had absolutely zero freaking statistics or actual research to prove that any of that crap was happening. So see what I'm saying? I'm already kind of getting fired up, like this whole argument, and I'm thinking this poor woman is just introducing this guest lecturer we have. Sorry. But it's crap. Like, it's crap. Don't say stuff you don't mean. It'd be much better if you just came out and said, hey, for the next hour, this is the Weather Channel talking now. For the next hour, we're gonna tell you the truth about the weather, but there's gonna be a whole lot of bullshit surrounding everything else in this next hour. We have to, because that's how we keep our sponsorship. Too bad they can't actually say that and get away with it. I would love that. Oops, and I think I did say that actually out loud. Oh, the magic of editing. I'll edit that out. Let's see, where am I going next? Did I beat them up as much as I wanted to beat them up? And I don't really mean them any harm, honestly. I mean, they're interesting, but they are, yeah. I don't know. But I still like to go to them to see what's going on. They do have some great footage. They do have some great drone footage. And actually, you can actually turn the volume off and just watch. I mean, that's what I do with a lot of things that I enjoy, that I don't want to hear their crap. Like, there's some nature, on public broadcasting. There's some shows that I really want to watch, and I just know they're going to ruin it by telling me how horrible us human beings are. So, sometimes I just mute it and enjoy the scenery, much like you're going to see in my background today. I have like some beautiful scenery that's coming off of YouTube. And it is gorgeous, man. Anyway, let's get on. I've got more stuff. Oh, I got to talk to you about this. This was something that really, like a week ago, I was already pissed off about this because, again, people were flat out lying to you. But yeah, this is kind of what I'm thinking. I'm kind of thinking that we have created people that are so stupid that literally can't think for themselves and come up with their own conclusions, that you could literally look right at them. They could see behind you that the church is on fire, and you go, "Oh no, that's not fire." And they'd be like, "Oh, okay." And they just I wander off, "Oh, okay, church isn't on fire. Good." A week ago tomorrow, 1 week ago tomorrow, a quarterback on the Miami Dolphins took a hit that was so hard when he hit the ground, you could tell he hit his head on the turf. He got up shaking his head, and then his knees went weak and he damn near fell down. And you could tell he was unstable. You could tell he had suffered brain damage. He had suffered a concussion. You could tell if you knew the signs of a concussion, it was obvious. They take him off the field, take him into the tunnel, back into the, you know, the training facilities, probably take an x-ray, check his heart rate, whatever. After halftime, they put him back in the game. They said, oh, he didn't suffer a concussion. It was a previous ankle and back injury that made his knees go weak. And I'm thinking to myself, no, he had a concussion. Yeah, you could literally see his head to hit the ground, and he had a concussion. So guess what? He plays again Thursday night. Yeah, he didn't have a concussion. He didn't go into concussion protocol. The NFL apparently, you know, went along with this whole, you know, idea that, wow, his back and his ankle were hurt, and that's why he staggered. So, Tua, his name's Tua Tagovailoa, I can't even say it. Tua Tagovailoa, I can't say it. Tua Tagovailoa. Yeah, quarterback for the Miami Dolphins. So he goes in the game Thursday. And he got tackled one time. And he did bump his head. It wasn't nearly as violent as the week before. But the results were more violent than the week before. The only way I could kind of describe in words what happened to him, if you've ever seen somebody in a seizure where their hands kind of curl up and fingers kind of outstretch in directions that they shouldn't really, yeah, that's what happened to him. Did he have a concussion? Well, I don't know. I guess we're waiting to find out. No, he got carted off and then he got taken to the hospital where, you know, it was determined that he had suffered some brain damage from that hit. It's really sad because this is a really young guy. This is what bothers me. This has kind of been bothering me for about a decade with the NFL. There's some times, man, and they've done a few things to kind of sort this out a little better. But you have preseason games. Preseason games don't count for anything. It's like, hey, let's go get together and practice, you know, playing this game. But the problem is, it's full contact, you know, and sometimes in those preseason games, people get hurt. And sometimes it's the most important player on the team that gets hurt. And don't tell me that everybody is important, because they're not. Yeah, everybody's kind of important. They all have a job to do. But there are some, obviously, by their paychecks, that are far more important than others, right? Well, so if you lose one of those primary people who are really going to carry you into the late season playoffs and beyond, and they get hurt in the preseason, that sucks. They get hurt in the first couple of weeks of regular season, that sucks. Like, they get hurt at all, that sucks. There was a lot of conversation on the internet this week about the NFL just putting players out there because, well, they pay them to play. I get that, man. I get, you know what? I, not only do I get that, microphone started going. We got to save the day here. Oh, I think everything just heated up so much the mic's going to fall. Boy, that sucks. Well, let's go to a little break here. I'll be right back. Let's see, where's... I'll look at the camera. Oh, let's do this. And let's do Black Betty. We'll be right back. right, let's get back to it. Holy cow. Let's get the camera back lit up. Hey, so you know what happened? This is the funniest thing. These little microphone holders, these like swing arms, they have a pad on them. And I think the pad was just warm enough. It's kind of started sliding. Probably you see it on camera. Maybe not. No, the microphone isn't on camera. But anyway, it just started sliding off where I have it mounted. So I had to hold on to it. Oh, well, microphone's back on. Everything's fine. Let's go. Let's get back to it. Anyway, so, you know, I really feel bad. Oh, I was going to tell you. So not only do I understand, like, paying these people to play, but this is, like, this is me on a Sunday. You know, quarterback drops back to pass. He's throwing, like, a bomb. No, he's throwing anything to one of these receivers that's making multi-million dollars a year. And the ball literally hits the guy in the hands and he drops it. And I would literally say, you're getting paid millions of dollars to catch that frickin' ball and you can't catch that frickin' ball. So I get it, man. I mean, I'm part of it. Like, hey, you know, yeah, get out there and play. But not when you suffer a brain injury, for God's sakes. Oh, my God, what are we turning this into? The gladiators? The gladiators? Just get out there and do your thing until you're dead? You know, we'll throw in a couple lions now and see what happens. I don't know. But that was terrible. I'm not kidding. So for a week, I knew the guy was brain injured. I knew it. I talked to people on Monday and Tuesday. I was talking to people about, did you see Tagliabue get hit in the head, get a concussion? You know, and like they're all blowing it off like it's not. I was telling everybody for the most of the week, and then Thursday night came, and boom, man, and you know, here's the deal. These guys are warriors. Like, they want to compete. This guy is on the plane in a neck brace, which I don't know why he's in a neck brace. He had a concussion, but maybe he had some neck injury too. I don't know. He's in a neck brace. On the plane, sitting next to the head coach, flying back to, flying back to Miami. And he's asking the coach when he's going to get to play. They're like, dude, you know, let's make you a whole human being again before we think about when you're going to play. And thank God, I've already heard today that the NFL is going to do a full investigation, which is kind of too late, honestly, you know, in my opinion. Like, the NFL reviews everything all the time, constantly reviewing tapes, constantly reviewing instant replays. They're constantly reviewing. And somehow, you know, they just let that thing slide completely. The first hit, which they should have caught that in time to you know, protect this young man. What is he, 23, 24, 25? He's a young guy, like first or second year in the NFL. Yeah, not protecting him. Man, okay, I have too much. What do we got left? We have 5 minutes. Let's do this. I really wanted to tell you about these ticks. Okay, I'm going to tell you about the ticks. We're going to save the FBI raid, which I'm sure you've probably heard about. And if not, good, I'll cover it sometime this week because it is flipping ridiculous. Yeah, we're all targets, basically. Everybody. You know, especially if you're an independent thinker, get ready. You're in trouble. They don't want you to think for yourself, for crying out loud. All right. And I don't know why that song was so loud, but I got some feedback that it was loud. Oh, well, it's okay. I think it's okay. Anyway, let's look at this. There's a new tick problem in the United States. It's called the longhorn tick. It's discovered in northern Missouri for the first time. Let's see what kind of notes I have on this. The longhorned tick causes the loss of millions of dollars of agriculture revenue to cattle producers worldwide, and it is now in northern Missouri. How did it get there? Well, your guess is as good as mine. The latest discovery indicates an additional economic burden to cattle producers. Really? Like, seriously, could there be more assault on cattle ranchers? Yes, as a matter of fact, there is. I'm gonna diverge for just a minute, because where in the hell did that story go? But the Rungus market, oh, here it is. The Rungus market, the largest, here, let's bring this up. This is interesting. You talk about pressure on our food supply throughout the world. Smoke seen in Paris after fire breaks out at world's biggest produce market. Okay? Like, I don't know if the building that hit was the one where all of the big deals go on, because I watched some video on this giant plaza it has everything. It has police department, fire department, it has restaurants, it has, you know, there's buildings, and they handle their own like recycling and stuff. But anyway, world's biggest produce market, where they go and make these deals, you know, to buy certain amounts of products from these producers, and then they take that product and resell it to the public or to other retailers. Yeah. Oh, what happened there? Don't move. whatever it is, don't do it. Okay, that's two times during the show my screens have kind of advanced on their own, telling me to get back to it. So the ticks. Let's go back to the longhorn tick. Anyway, dang it. Now I lost my... Oh, no, here it is. While most ticks reproduce traditionally, female longhorned ticks can lay thousands of eggs without the help of a male. Which I don't know for sure what that means. I wonder, like, did she never have to be in the presence of a male? Or if she was in the presence of a male one time, she saves whatever sperm or whatever and lays the eggs later and they're all fertile. I don't know. Which makes it easier for them to quickly establish in new areas. We must be vigilant and devote resources toward trying to prevent these ticks from spreading disease that harm the health of cattle, humans, and their pets. He said there not only appears to be an increase in abundance of all ticks in the Midwest in the past decade, but also an increase in the pathogens and diseases they transmit to cattle, humans, and pets. So, you know, we got that going for us. Look at the size of this tick, too. You'll see it on the video if you go to the video. Here, let me make sure it's on there. Yeah. So that's a dime in the background with a regular tick on the left and one of these longhorn ticks on the right. I don't see its horns, but, you know, it gets its name from somewhere. Maybe those front appendages are horns. Let's see. What else could I cover in 35 seconds? Let's say this. You know, be alert, be aware of stuff around you, be safe, do whatever you can to keep yourselves safe. That's the most important thing. As a family, we were kind of talking about this today, like how crazy the world is, like these kids getting sick in Seattle, you know, and forcing these vaccines on people, and how the mask has compromised immune systems everywhere. I'm going to be out of time here. But anyway, stay safe. Think for yourselves. Thank you. Thank you for listening to the Redneck Dentist Podcast. Please show your support for the podcast. This podcast is not on the biggest platforms, but it is on the best free speech platforms. Until next time, remember, all bleeding eventually stops.